1 o'clock hour, Darren Donovan Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game live at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and the Ducks do battle tonight. Pre-game at 6, puck drop at 7 right here on ESPN 102.5, the game. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Wiley Danuk, Willie Donick hanging out with you. We'll have Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet here in just a few minutes.
By the way, we're going to give away tickets to, I think it's the Buffalo game. Following Elliot's interview with us. So be listening for that.
The whiteout. They're going to wear the jerseys, the classic jerseys. It's going to be cool. Yes, it is Buffalo.
Yes, okay. So be listening after Elliot Friedman. We will give away tickets to the final home game before the break. Predators will hit the All-Star and bye week after Buffalo on Saturday night.
It's a big game. These two games, so important.
Are there any games that aren't big the rest of the way?
At this point, they have used up the slack in the rope. Every game is big, I think. But in particular, as we talked about last week, got to start playing better at home to start with. And number two, these are two teams that if you're on your game, you got your best game.
You got to come away with 4 points.
You need these.
You got to beat Anaheim Buffalo at home. Sorry. If you're trying to get back in this thing, you got to get 4 points. Let's bring in Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet.
People are already trying to call to win these tickets.
31. Folks, it's after Elliot. Then we're going to give away tickets.
You hear tickets, and you're like, oh.
That's all right. That's all right. They're used to us giving stuff away. That's fine. We like to give things away on this show. Elliot, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing better than a lot of coaches in the National Hockey League. I know there's turnover in professional sports, but I think we were all taken back with Gerard Gallant. That's now the seventh NHL coach to lose his job this season. I realize two of the jobs were not because of lack of production, a little bit special circumstances, but did we miss the boat here in Nashville? Because we said yesterday on the show that we had not seen anything where Gallant was in hot water or his seat was blazing hot, and we woke up to Gallant being fired.
Yeah, it was – I think it surprised a lot of people. Now, I will tell you, I think the reason it surprised people the most was I had a couple coaches from the West tell me that they thought he was going to get an extension there. So they were really surprised. But I think what's happened, guys, is that, and it kind of happened in your situation too, is that you have people who know people, right? And if you're ever going to change a coach, you're going to sit there and say, all right, we have a we have a coach here, and if we're going to change it, we better find somebody better. And your guys knew John Hines. And the Vegas guys knew Peter DeBoer, and they felt that if they were – Brian Burke was on our show last night, and he said that the Vegas guys were concerned if they slept on DeBoer, they weren't going to get him in the summer if they still wanted him. And I think that's what happens. Guys say, if we want someone, we better strike. And I guess they felt that was the guy. But I was shocked because, as some guys told me, they heard that he was potentially getting an extension there.
Wow. It's just amazing. I mean, they went to the Stanley Cup final 2 years ago. Last year they lost in a wacky game 7 in the first round. And now, I mean, minus Rowe, I mean, they would be in the wild card spot. I mean, yeah, they haven't had the season they were expecting. But I did say this yesterday, Elliot, that there is some similarities in Vegas and Nashville in the fact that expectations are high. Fan base is used to winning, and they're in that window. And the front offices have been aggressive with trades and bringing in big names and keeping big names. It's not just, hey, let's trade for them and just for the stretch run and away they go off somewhere else. Vegas has made some significant trades, and they have signed these guys up long-term. It's no different here in Nashville.
No, I mean, as you guys know, when you trade for guys like that and you pay the big salaries for guys like that, the expectations are you're going to win. And it's always easier at some point. It's hard to make trades in this league. A lot of teams are capped out. There's not a lot of teams with great flexibility. So what ends up happening is it almost becomes, I don't know if easier is the right word, but it's definitely the path of least resistance to let go of the coaches. And that's what happens. Sometimes you think like a new voice is going to make a difference. I mean, if you look at it, someone was telling me last night, Joel Quenneville was hired last April. He's 18th in seniority in the NHL right now.
Wow.
That's how crazy it is.
That's putting things in perspective. The Philip Forsberg lacrosse goal finally happened. He's been talking to us for years about it. It finally worked in Edmonton on Tuesday night. What did you make of it? It's pretty interesting. I spoke with Matt Duchesne after skate this morning, and you'll hear that interview in pregame. That, you know, Elliot, you've been covering this league a long time. You know, guys attempted that 5, 10, 15 years ago. There would be consequences afterwards, where today's game, you know, these guys are being able to showcase their talents and their skill sets, and there's no really repercussions from doing it.
No, and I think that's a good thing. Like, I think it should be, we should be able to celebrate, you know, the skill of the players. We should be able to, you know, I think at times one of hockey's biggest problems is the culture. I mean, I think the culture of team is great. You know, I like working for a company where we consider ourselves a team and you try to do well as a team. But sometimes you also have to recognize that certain people have great individual abilities and they shouldn't be punished for that. And I think you're right. Like, years ago, if you try to move like that, you might wake up the next day in traction. And now, I think initially, the first time it happened, there were some people like, what, seriously? But now that it's happening more and more, I think we're recognizing that the response is, holy smokes, like, these guys are really talented guys. And they go viral, and they make your sport look cool, and people say, that's really interesting. So I'm a big believer in that. You know, it's funny, like, when Svechnikov from Carolina did it, we were talking on our podcast about who was going to be the next guy, and we talked about Austin Matthews in Toronto. So when Forsberg did it the other night, I got someone direct messaging on Twitter. I guess they're a Predators fan. And they're like, you guys spent 5 minutes talking about Matthews and you never talked about Forsberg, you idiots. And he just did it. So I think it's a great thing, and I hope it happens more often. You know, the other thing you guys might have seen is that after Rene scored, the same night that Forsberg did the lacrosse goal, Hellebuck from Winnipeg tried to score against Vancouver, and they saw it coming. Like, it was a 3 or 4 nothing game, and he stopped the puck, and he stepped right into it. It was an empty net for the Canucks, and one of the Canucks' best players, their captain, Bo Horvat, he knew exactly what was going on. He knocked it down. He didn't want that highlight against him. So if we get more lacrosse goals and goalies scoring, I think those are good trends.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I don't think I can remember seeing something like I saw Tuesday night, looking at the point sheet for Edmonton going into that game against the Predators. So we all know Draisaitl and McDavid, right? They are. That is the backbone. That is the team of the Edmonton Oilers. Well, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is a pretty good player. He's the third leading point scorer on that team. The problem, Elliot, is the gap between second and third is 40 points. I don't think I've ever seen the third best player on a team separated by 40 points from the second best player.
No, that's definitely true. Like, that is a big gap, and it's something that they're dealing with. Now, you know, I think it helps that you put them on your first power play, you give them all their great opportunities to score, and they can do it, and they deserve it. But there's no question that those guys need help. Now, I will tell you, the difference might be not as much, but last year the problem with them, or one of them, was their bottom six forwards, the third and fourth lines, they got absolutely caved in. They got absolutely caved in. Like, you put those guys on the ice sometimes last year, and they were getting completely destroyed. This year the difference is, for a good chunk of it, those guys have at least been holding their own. And that's one of the reasons that Edmonton is still in the race, because their depth is a little bit better. But those two guys are unbelievable. Like, earlier in the year, they were playing unsustainable minutes. Like, I think they were both on pace to set records for forwards. Now, you have to dial that back a bit, particularly with the travel in the Western Conference, but those guys definitely need some help.
Elliot Friedman is with us, and he is with 31 Thoughts Hockey Night in Canada, joins us each week. And, Elliot, it's great to talk to you again. I've missed the last couple of these, and on my travels, I was in Edmonton earlier this week, and of course, we saw the game firsthand with Draisaitl scoring getting 3 points. McDavid got 3 as well, and they beat the Predators. But just as interesting was outside. So I want to ask you, as a Canadian, what is the coldest temperature that you have ever been in? Because we set a record, at least in my travels, at minus 32. Like, even people there were
minus
saying,
32
this is
Fahrenheit. Under,
Fahrenheit, yes. It was warmer on the North Pole, literally.
Yeah, you know, Edmonton and Winnipeg in the winter, those can be dicey trips. I heard it was freezing there. You know, I'll tell you a story. So I was, when the All-Star game was in Atlanta, and that's got to be around 2008 or 2009, I had to go from Atlanta to Saskatoon, okay? So we're in Atlanta, and I was going to Saskatoon after All-Star weekend to work on a story. So I had, Atlanta, the weather was decent, so I had, autumn or fall clothes for there. And in my suitcase, I had my winter gear for Saskatoon because it was cold. And my luggage got lost.
Oh, no.
I land in Saskatoon, and I've got no winter coat. Like, I just basically have the clothes on my back. So I get to the hotel at night. That was okay. But I had to walk to a men's clothing store. I had to walk from my hotel to a men's clothing store the next day. And it was two blocks. I almost didn't make it. And I'm no wimp, but I almost didn't make that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You know how this is, Elliot. You know, if a bunch of Americans start making fun of the temperature in Canada, the Canadians are like, okay, I've never heard that one before.
Like, even we get it. We get it. Like, nobody's going to rip you for that. I'll tell you this. Don't tell the people in Edmonton this, because they always get mad at the central Canadians, but even we make fun of the temperature in Edmonton.
Well, let me ask you about another thing. I mean, the Gallant thing was certainly a bombshell.
Yep.
And as you write in your 31 Thoughts, another one, and of course we're close to it here because of the relationships between David Poile and some of the people over there, but Ray Shiro being ousted in New Jersey, that was one that kind of came out of left field for me.
The timing really came out of left field, but there were some indications that the relationship was beginning to fall apart there. I mean, for one thing, like, they've made the playoffs once. They went to the Stanley Cup Final in 2012. They lost to Los Angeles. They've made the playoffs once since then, and they won one game. They were knocked out 4-1 in that round. So I think there's a real strain of losing. And that wasn't all under Ray Shiro. Lou Lamoriello was still there for some of it. But the strain of losing really hurt that organization. And I think the other thing, too, is, and, you know, you guys work with David Poile. Like, you know, David Poile, there's some information he'll let you have, but there's other information he keeps really tight. And each general manager has a circle, the amount of people that they really talk to. And some guys keep a really tight circle, and they're really, I mean, all of them really try to keep information tight. But some guys have wider circles than others. And I think, like, this year, some of the Devils stopped during their trade talks with Hall. It got out. I think Ray Shiro, who likes to keep a tight circle as it is, got kind of upset at how stuff got out. He wasn't pleased with things. And I think he kind of withdrew in a bit further. And I don't think the Devils like that. And I think that the relationship got more strained, I think the Devils wanted more people included. I don't think he was comfortable with that. And I think that, as much as anything else, was a reason that he's no longer there. I don't think that I just think the relationship really began to fray because of the losing. And then when it came to making plans for the future, okay, what do we do? I just think it fell apart. I don't think they could agree. And when they say they mutually agreed to part, like, it's a nice pseudonym for being fired. But I do think that, you know, Shiro was not as thrilled with what they were planning as much as they had issues with the way he was handling things.
You can imagine, we're sitting in Winnipeg, and we're watching on one TV the Titans and the Ravens. On the other TV, you have a hockey night in Canada, and you have the Calgary-Edmonton game. So as we go Winnipeg to Edmonton, you can imagine the discussion we had, and, of course, everybody was talking about it, the hits between Tkachuk and Cassian. So I just want to ask you about Tkachuk's hits. That was the big thing. Did you have a problem with Tkachuk's hits that started the whole thing?
The second one, no. Like, the second one, I didn't have a problem with it. He stops, like, taking big steps at the end. He glides, and Cassian has the puck. So I didn't. You know, the first one, I thought it could have been a charge, but I didn't think it was. Like, I think, like, if you don't have the puck, that shouldn't happen. If you have the puck, you have to be aware. And, you know, initially, guys, I got to tell you, I didn't think Kasten should be suspended. He got bullied, and he took care of the guy who was doing the bullying. And I say bullying in the sense of not like it was illegal or anything, but Tkachuk was trying to bully him on the ice and get him on the ice. And I thought he took care of it himself. And like 20 years ago, I don't think that's even a suspension. But with everything we know about concussions and brain injuries, the league feels very strongly that if two players are going to fight, they're going to be willing combatants. And Tkachuk made it clear that he was not a willing combatant. And earlier this year, Calgary had a player, Milan Lucic, suspended for punching a player a couple times from Columbus, Cole Sherwood, who didn't want to fight, and they suspended him for two games. So the 21st century newer man, Elliot Friedman, gets that. I think 20 or 30 years ago, there wouldn't have been any suspension at all. I didn't think any of Tkachuk's hits were suspendable. If I had an issue with one more than the other, it was the first one, because I thought it could have been a charge. The second one I didn't think was a penalty at all.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet. And going back to New Jersey for a second, and some of the players that they have that could possibly be available as they get to the deadline. Yep. I know P.K. Subban did say he has not asked for a trade, but is he a name that could be out there, even though, as we know here in Nashville, $9 million is a lot to move? David Poile was able to do it, but do you think he could be on the move again?
I think that they'll investigate everything. You know, the one thing is, lately he started to get going, but he had a really tough start to the year. And I know better than to doubt PK, but I think the way he was playing at the beginning of the year, it would be tough to move that contract. You know, it's still two more years. It's basically $22 million. And I think those contracts are tough to move, especially in a really capped out year. So I would bet that right now the answer would be no. I think if he continues to play better, it might be different in the off season. But I think right now, I think it's going to be really tough to move that contract.
Elliot, really good stuff. It probably warrants double pay, but we'll just have to send you regular pay this week.
Oh, you know what? I brought it all out, too. Like, if I'm never going to get double pay for this, I'm not going to. And you know what? The other thing, too, is you guys made it tougher on me because I was between the audience and the free tickets, and you never want to be that guest. So I hope it's good.
Well, we're trying to train them that it's always they have to listen to your interview, and then they get a crack at free tickets after the interview, and it's something that came from your interview. So we make sure that they are listening to your words of wisdom.
You know, I got to tell you, you know what that means? That means I can't wait to tell my coworkers that, because they're gonna start laughing that you guys have to bribe people to listen to me. They are never going to hear the end of this.
It's all the way you spin it, right?
Yeah.
We're forcing people to listen to Elliot.
Elliot, thanks as always.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Good luck to the Titans.
All right, thanks. Good stuff. Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet every Thursday at 1 o'clock here on Darren Donick and Chase. We will give you a chance to win tickets on the other side, something that came from this interview right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.